Man, the title of my sermon tonight is Rioting and Looting Part 2. Rioting and Looting Part 2. Now, this morning, you know, I already showed from the Bible and demonstrated from the Bible why what's going on today in our nation, whether here in Phoenix, other cities across America, Minneapolis, Portland, you name it, L.A., it's ungodly, it's wicked, it's reprehensible. I have no sympathy for it at all. And look, I already stated this morning, I'm just going to quickly recap, that obviously what happened in Minneapolis was wrong, and the cop who killed that man should be tried for murder, and he's already been arrested, and he's being tried for third-degree murder, which is the appropriate charge. He's being hit with, I think, third-degree murder and manslaughter, and rightly so. And I hope he gets convicted based on what I've seen, but that's not the point, folks. And I'm not going to re-preach this morning's sermon where I proved six ways to Sunday that what's going on is wrong. And I can't even believe the fact that I've seen so many even Christians trying to defend what's going on and trying to sympathize and act like, oh, well, you know, they got a point. It's wrong, folks. And see this morning's sermon for details if you missed that. Okay. But I want to continue talking about this situation because we're living in a crazy world and we need the Word of God to shine the light on the situation so that we can have the right biblical attitude toward events as they unfold. You know, the Bible has the answer for the times that we're living in. Okay, the Bible's always relevant. The Bible has the answer before things even happen. And so we need to understand the times based on the Bible. Okay, now Proverbs chapter 4, the first thing I want to point out here in verse 14 is where the Bible reads, "Enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it and pass away." So the Bible's pretty clear here when it tells us to just don't even go near it, get away from it. And this is why we're having church early tonight. This is why I think if you're smart tonight, you'll just go home and just not even go in the path of wicked men. And I know young people might want to go and just look and just kind of check it out and see what's going on. But you know what? You need to follow the Bible's advice here to just not go there, avoid it, pass by it. Look at verse 16. "For they sleep not except they've done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." Now go to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. Let me say something else. There should be zero tolerance for violent crime in our society. Amen. Okay? Violent crime should not be tolerated, and it should be prosecuted with the full extent of the law. The police right now, the government, they should be coming down on this stuff with an iron fist. Now you say, well, Pastor Ashley, I thought you were libertarian. Let me explain something to you, okay? You got libertarianism over here where you're for freedom and liberty and minimal government. And then on the other side, you'd have like totalitarianism or statism or big government, right? Well, let me explain something to you in case you don't know it. Every totalitarian government throughout history goes soft on criminals. Okay, now you might not know that. Maybe you don't believe that. Maybe you don't understand that. But that's true, friend. And you know what? I've read Alexander Solzhenitsyn. I've read The Gulag Archipelago two times cover to cover. Many passages in it I read, you know, five, six, seven times. And that's a very comprehensive documentation of the Soviet Union and all the oppressions that went on. And one of the things that Alexander Solzhenitsyn covers in that book is how violent criminals were constantly allowed to get off the hook in the Soviet Union, that they would get way lighter sentences than people who committed political crimes. You know, if you spoke out against the government, if you criticized Stalin, yeah, they'll slap a 10-year sentence on you. They'll slap a 25-year sentence on you. They'll send you to some camp in Siberia to rot. But people who were murderers, thieves, rapists, they're constantly getting off the hook in a situation like that. Okay, look at the most commie liberal countries, and you know what they always do? They take away citizens' rights to defend themselves against violent criminals, right? They disarm the population, and in many cases, they even disarm the police. So think about England right now, right, where the police don't even have weapons in the United Kingdoms, right? They're walking around with a club or something. And you know what? It's a dangerous place to be if you're in Manchester at night or something like that. Folks, there's a lot of crime there. You're a sitting duck in a lot of these places. I've talked to people who live in places in Europe where you have just roving, violent criminals, and they don't even have a gun. I mean, and they're just sitting ducks at their house. And then if they defend themselves, they'll get in trouble. They'll be prosecuted. If they try to booby trap their house or try to, you know, improvise some kind of a weapon. In fact, in some of these libtard countries, when someone tries to, you know, break into your house, you have to match whatever weapon they have. You can't go above it. You know, so if they come at you with a little knife and you defend yourself with a big knife, well, whoa, buddy. How dare you? You know, if you use more force than what they're coming at you with, you'll get in trouble. Let me tell you something. If somebody breaks into my house tonight, I don't care if they're unarmed. They're getting shot tonight. Amen. Period. I don't care if they have a squirt gun. I don't care if they have a pea shooter. If someone breaks into my house at night with all this violence going on, they are getting shot tonight. And that's taught in the Bible, and we'll get there in a moment. But look what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. According to the Word of God, actually executing judgment against evil work speedily will prevent crime. So I don't want to hear this liberal junk about, oh, the death penalty doesn't work, and, oh, you know, being tough on crime doesn't work. The Bible says it works if it's done speedily. Yeah, maybe putting somebody on death row for 20 years doesn't work. But let me tell you something. If violent criminals were punished swiftly and severely, it would be a deterrent. That's what the Word of God says. Because sentences against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Now, I hope that tonight, I hope that the police actually do their job tonight and protect property and protect people, because you know what? They failed last night. And you know, sorry, but that's what's going on. And forgive me if I'm a little irritated by that, because just this week on Wednesday, we were out sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ from door to door with Bible in hand, and it was amazing how five cops could show up within 15 minutes. Right. Who was there with me on Wednesday when that happened? Yeah, I was talking to my son about this, and he counted five police officers that showed up to stop us from soul winning, and boy, they got there lightning fast. 15, 20 minutes, and they were able to deal with 15 of us. Oh man, they made short work of the 15 of us. But isn't it interesting how last night, when you have 500 violent criminals surrounding the Scottsdale Fashion Center, they made a total of 12 arrests. Total. Okay. Now look, they need to come down hard on these people. That's my opinion. And I believe that the Bible teaches it would be a deterrent. And they have every right to use whatever force. And I'm going to prove that from the Bible. Because these violent robbers, looters at night, you know what? If you're robbing at night, the Bible says that basically if someone kills you, they're totally justified. Now, in the daytime, the punishment for stealing is different. According to the Bible, in the daytime, the punishment for stealing is you pay back double, you pay back five. Hey, if you're caught breaking up at night and you die, you die. That's what the Bible says, okay? So think about that. If you're ever tempted to go out at night robbing, you know, because God might just arrange that for you, okay? Now go, if you would, to Exodus chapter 22. Folks, just because we believe in freedom and liberty and minimal government, we are not anarchists here. Amen. The Bible does not teach anarchy. The Bible does not teach no government. The Bible teaches a minimal government. And you know what the main function of government is, according to the Bible? in Romans chapter 13, the function is the punishment of evildoers. And let me tell you something. When people are out robbing and raping and pillaging, looting, murdering, that's exactly where we want the government to come in. And we want them to come down like a ton of bricks on these people. Okay? Forgive us for being a little irritated when we go out soul winning and the police response is just lightning fast. To come and mess with people who actually work for a living and who are actually preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Boy, they're always so quick to come and give us a citation and come and hassle us, right? Well, you know what? Why don't they take care of these violent criminals? And let me tell you something. If they come to my house, they're going to die. It's that simple. Look what the Bible says in Exodus chapter 22. It says in verse 1, if a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. So what the Bible's saying here is, look, if it's at night and the guy dies, well, so what? He's dead. No charges filed. No bloodshed. Because you know what? If somebody's breaking up in the middle of the night and they get shot, well, you know what? Tough for them. Shouldn't have been breaking up in the middle of the night. Now, if it happens in the daytime, they get the punishment for stealing. But if it's at night, friend, look, if somebody is trying to break into my house in the daytime, I'm not going to shoot them. If somebody tries to break into my house at night, I'm going to shoot them. Any questions? That's what the Bible's teaching, okay? Look, I don't know if somebody's breaking into my house at night. I don't know how many people are in the backyard, coming from another side, the alley, the front, or whatever. I don't know how many people are coming. You know what? I'm going to shoot and ask questions later in that situation. Now, look, in general, I would be very hesitant to ever harm anyone for any reason or shoot anyone or hurt anyone for any reason. But in a situation like this, where you have just roving bands of violent thugs, you better be ready to defend yourself. Okay. And you are totally justified to defend yourself and protect your home. And God forbid that it would even come to that. But stranger things have happened. And we're living in strange times. You ought to be ready to defend yourself. Okay. And you are totally justified. Obviously, you know, the main thing is just praying and being right with God because God can easily protect us. But I'm just telling you right now that, you know, this needs to be squashed. What's going on right now in America, it needs to be stopped. And look, it's very possible that there are, you know, evil forces that are at work orchestrating all this. It seems very suspicious the way all this is happening. Even the local Phoenix police is saying that it's suspicious and they feel like people are being brought in from out of state. And so why would they be coming to Phoenix of all places to foment this kind of garbage? But I'm telling you, friend, be safe. Go home tonight, lock the door, clean your guns, and, you know, you are justified to defend yourself. So don't even hesitate if somebody breaks into your house tonight. Do not hesitate. I mean, be safe about it, and hopefully you know what you're doing, but protect yourself. Amen? Now, there are some people, go if you would to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. And obviously, you always got to use gun safety. And obviously, you want to make sure that, you know, you don't just have a loaded gun laying around. You got to have the safety on. I'm not one of these keep one in the chamber all the time kind of guys, okay? You know, I keep my guns stored safely and everything like that. And obviously, you want to make sure that whatever's downrange, that you're not just, you know, unloading a bunch of rounds into your neighborhood or something. So, you know, obviously use common sense. You might need to take a knee with Colin Kaepernick and fire upward, you know, and blow their head off. That way you don't just send a bullet, you know, just going wherever. You know, you could first take a knee, you know, for Nelson Floyd and then just boom, right? So use common sense, you know, be smart and everything like that. But I'm saying, friend, these people that are doing this are wicked people. And I've heard some people, the stupidity that I've seen over the past few months from people just kind of blows me away sometimes. I'm starting to lose faith in humanity. But I can't believe the people that I see defending what's going on right now and actually defending what these people are doing and saying, oh, well, we need a revolution in this country or something like that. Folks, the last thing that we need in this country is a revolution. Amen. That is the last thing. And the last thing we need is for the government to be overthrown. Because let me tell you something. Let me just break it to you. Our country is filled with godless idiots right now. That's the culture of our country is godlessness and stupidity. And whatever government gets instituted after some violent revolution or something is going to be worse than what we have now. I guarantee it. It will not be better than what the founding fathers gave us. Whatever you don't like about the founding fathers, whatever you don't like about the Constitution, whatever you don't like about our current form of government, whatever it switches to will be worse. You better just stick with the status quo, friend. What does the Bible say? Proverbs 24, verse 21. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. Change for the sake of change is not good. People who are just given to change, just, hey, we need a change. Folks, there can be a change for the worse. It could get much worse. We have it pretty good right now. Let's just not go with what's behind door number two, okay? So it says, meddle not with them that are given to change, for their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both. You don't want to just roll the dice on, things need to change. No, let's just leave it the way it is. Now, the Bible tells us, if you would flip over to Genesis chapter 6, the Bible tells us in Psalm 11, verse 5, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. God hates people who love violence. That's what the Bible says in Psalm 11, 5, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. We ought to hate violence as well. And we ought to hate those who love violence. People who just love violence. And let me tell you something. Everybody who's out there protesting is wrong. 100% of them. And I proved that in my sermon this morning a few different ways. 100% of the people out there participating in this are wrong. All of them. But the ones who are violent, the ones who are actually just out there and they want to kill and they want to injure and maim and they want to beat the fire out of innocent people and they want to break in and steal and rob, folks, they are scum is what they are. They are scum. They are trash. And you know what? Whatever happens to them tonight, they deserve it. Whatever happens to them. And I hope that the police come down on them like a ton of bricks. I doubt that they will, but they ought to. They ought to come down severely. Look, do you want to live in a war zone? I mean, do you want to live in a place? Do you want to just worry about your neighborhood and just worry about roving bands of gangbangers and violent thugs coming through your neighborhood ready to rape and loot and pillage? I don't. You know what? I'd rather that the police just takes care of the problem with these people. And you know what? It's to the point now. And look, they're talking about bringing in the National Guard. Bring in the National Guard. Yeah. Bring them in. Yeah. You know, use all the force that's necessary as far as I'm concerned. This is what government's for. I mean, look, if government's just going to invade our lives all the time and tax us and tell us what to do and hassle us out soul winning, folks, this is when we actually need them to do stuff. Let them come in and do what they're meant to do. This is what the National Guard's for. I'm for it. Amen. You know, folks, people get the idea that we're anti-government or something. We've never been anti-government. We're anti-government abuse. We're anti the government out of bounds. But folks, they're in bounds. When they're protecting us from violent criminals, this is what we pay them to do. This is why they exist. You know, let them do their jobs. And I don't think that they should be standing down and just sitting back and just letting these horrible people burn it all down. Yeah. It's not helping anything. God hates violence. Why did, you know, God, this is how God feels about violence. He destroyed the whole world because it got too violent. Look what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So the reason given for destroying the earth is that it's filled with violence. Okay. Go, if you would, to Nahum chapter 3. Minor prophets, the little short books right before Matthew. A bunch of minor prophets. And let's look at Nahum chapter 3, verse 1. Nahum chapter 3, verse 1. And look, I just want to shed biblical light on this because, you know, people are hearing a lot of different things from a lot of different people right now and, you know, different opinions and the media and everything. You know, let's go to the Word of God. You know, what does God think about this? What's God thinking from heaven when he looks down and he sees some derelict with his pants falling off carrying a television out of Target right now? Or throwing a brick through a window right now of some innocent business owner. Or somebody who's just trying to drive down the freeway and they're just doing their job as a truck driver and they've got a bunch of wild beasts climbing all over their vehicle. And folks, have we forgotten about the guy who was ripped out of his truck, what, 20 years ago? 1992? Los Angeles? Yeah, something like that, right? And they ripped the truck driver out and just beat him to death? And didn't he die?
No. I think he died. Reginald Denny, he took some major head injury.
Did he survive?
I believe he
yeah, but just a guy. Here's a guy just driving down the road.
He's the one that said, can't we all get along? Him and Rodney King.
Yeah. Gets ripped out of his vehicle and beaten to a pulp. Folks, this is garbage. This is not a... And you know what? If I hear the word protest one more time, I'm going to throw up because that's not a protest. It's violence. Okay? It is just completely reprehensible. It's rioting. It's looting. It's disgusting. Okay? What does the Bible say? Look at Nahum chapter 3, verse 1. Woe to the bloody city. It's all full of lies and robbery. The prey departeth not. The noise of a whip. And the noise of the rattling of the wheels and of the prancing horses and of the jumping chariots. The horseman lifteth up both the bright sword and the glittering spear. And there is a multitude of slain and a great number of carcasses. And there's none end of their corpses. They stumble upon their corpses. Because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts, that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness and the kingdoms thy shame, and I will cast abominable filth upon thee and make thee vile and will set thee as a gazing stock. And it shall come to pass that all they that look upon thee shall flee from thee and say, Nineveh is laid waste. Who will bemoan her? Whence shall I seek comforters for thee? And we see, again, violence, robbery, condemned by God. God's going to punish it. God's going to judge it. And go, if you would, to Habakkuk chapter 1. Now, look, I have no doubt in my mind at all that what's going on right now in America is that America is being judged by God right now. The bad things that are happening this year, I don't think anybody would disagree that everything that's been happening this year has been negative. There have been bad things happening. One thing after another, bad things, bad things. This is the judgment of God. This is God's wrath upon us. Now, a lot of people, they fail to understand the fact that just because God is punishing us, that doesn't mean the people who are actually doing the violence are justified. Well, you know, it's all part of God's plan, so therefore, no, wrong. That's not how things work, okay? If we study the Bible, we see that God actually uses wicked people in his judgment plan. So for example, you know, let's say you got the children of Judah and they're disobedient to the Lord. They start worshiping other gods. You know, they were a righteous nation, but then they turn away from the Lord. Well, he'll often send somebody to punish them that's even worse than they are. He'll send the Babylonians, the Philistines. I mean, do you think when God's using the Philistines to judge the Israelites in the book of Judges, is it because the Philistines are more godly, more righteous? And, you know, the Israelites are probably more godly than the Philistines, but yet he uses the Philistines to come in and judge his people, right? Now, this is the subject of the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk is trying to understand why God would do this. Look at verse 12 of chapter 1. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. And here's the question that Habakkuk asks. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? He's saying, why do you stand back and let the wicked devour the man that is more righteous than he, and makest men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them? You know, you're just allowing chaos, and you're just allowing the wicked to devour someone who's more righteous than he is. And the context here is Babylon. You know, Babylon is the one who's more wicked, and he's looking at, you know, his nation and the land of Israel, and saying, why are you using the Babylonians to judge us? Why do you sit back and let these violent Babylonians come in? They're worse than we are. And God, of course, explains and answers this. Go to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 5. He basically explains that, yeah, they're wicked, but they're going to get what's coming to them too. But he's still going to use them to punish his people. So the Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 5, yea, also, because he transgresses by wine, he's a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell, and is as death and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. Shall not all these take up a parable against him, and a taunting proverb against him, and say, woe to him that increaseth that which is not his. How long? And to him that ladeth himself with thick clay. Shall not they rise up suddenly that shall bite thee, and awake that shall vex thee, and thou shalt be for booties unto them? Because thou hast spoiled many nations, all the remnant of the people shall spoil thee because of men's blood and for the violence of the land, of the city, and of all that dwell therein. What's the Bible saying in verse 8? Is that loot and thou shalt be looted, is what he's basically saying here. Rob and thou shalt be robbed. He that killeth with the sword must be killed by the sword. That's what the Bible says. What goes around comes around. You reap what you sow. And so just as Babylon went in and spoiled many nations, all the remnant of the people, he said, shall spoil thee. It's going to come back around to you. So don't ever worry. The wicked will get what's coming to them, period. God will make sure that the wicked get what's coming to them. But that does not change the fact that God uses wicked people to punish a nation. Okay, so the United States of America has shed much innocent blood. And it doesn't matter how much we have been desensitized to these things, God is still horrified by abortion. God is still horrified by sodomy. God is still horrified by adultery. God looks down and sees the wickedness of our country, the godlessness, the blasphemy, and he is angry. And God's wrath is coming upon this nation. We're being punished right now. Now look, that doesn't mean that these violent thugs are somehow justified. No, God allows the devil even to exist to ultimately fulfill his purpose. You know, he's going to put the devil in hell for the millennium and lock him up for 1,000 years. You know, he could just put him there right now if he wanted to. Do you think God has the power right now to just lock up the devil right now early? I mean, why not? He has him on this earth for a reason, to fulfill his purpose. And then the proof of that is that when the millennium's over, he's going to let the devil out again. So that the devil will fulfill his plan to ultimately gather everybody to the battle of Gog and Magog. And so right now, God allows wicked people to exist. He allows these violent thugs and these wicked, evil degenerates to go around robbing and harming and pillaging. He allows that all to happen because you know what? He's up in heaven doling out punishments on the United States right now. And it's just one thing after another. It's coronavirus. It's economic problems. It's a shutdown. It's violent looting and all this stuff. You know, folks, it's going to keep happening. You know, as long as the United States continues in its wickedness, then this stuff's going to continue to happen. Now, look, again, we as God's people have nothing to worry about. I'm not worried about anything, you know, because of the fact that God loves us. God protects us. We're the apple of his eye, okay? The very hairs of your head are numbered, the Bible tells. And, you know, if you walk out of here and you're scared and trembling and you go home tonight and you're scared in your house, you know what that means is just that you're a little lean on faith is what that means. If you go to bed tonight and you're scared and you're nervous, you know what that means? You're not trusting God to protect you is what that means. Because if you actually believe the promise of God, you know what you'd believe? You'd believe that the hairs of your head are numbered. You'd believe that God has given his angels charge concerning you and that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. You know, I don't need an armed guard outside my house tonight. I promise you, I have no question about it. There is going to be an angel of the Lord outside my house tonight as sure as I'm standing here right now. Do you think that there's an angel tasked to take care of my house tonight? Because I know there is. No question about it. None. And if anything happens on my property, it's going to be because God allowed it, because it's God's plan. And you know what? Whatever God has planned for me, I'm ready for it. You know, whatever he has planned for me, you know, he doesn't exist to serve me. I exist to serve him. Amen. Let's never forget that. We exist for him and not vice versa. Okay. All things were created for his pleasure, not for your pleasure. All right. They're created for him. He is the boss. And so if God allows things to happen, you know what? Then we just have to trust that all things are going to work together for good to them that love God and that God has a reason for allowing those things to happen the way that they do. And you know what? I have the faith to believe that. I hope you have the faith to believe that. So I don't want you to become perturbed by a sermon like this. You know, sometimes as a preacher, you almost hesitate to preach on stuff like this because you just, you know, you don't want to make people nervous or you want to set their minds at ease. But you know what? I'm preaching tonight is reality, folks. I'm not just going to get up here and say, hey, everything's fine. Everything's not fine. Okay? But that doesn't, I'm not telling you to be afraid because of the fact that God's got your back. Amen. And the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1 that the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation. So if you're saved, or if you're going to get saved later, God has the angels protecting you. That's what the Bible says. So guardian angels are a biblical concept. And so, therefore, there's nothing to worry about or be nervous about. But you know what? If I told you that God's going to bless America and that we're going to have peace and prosperity and it's going to be great, I'd be lying to you. Okay? The true story is that the reason why these bad things are happening in rapid succession is because God is punishing our country. Now you say, no, Pastor Anderson, it's an agenda. Okay, it's both then. If you think that this is all being orchestrated, then it's both. Because let me ask you this. Evil people orchestrating this agenda. Let's go with that. Let's just assume right now for sure that all of this was planned and that in a dark, smoke-filled room somewhere, people sat down and said, okay, there's going to be a virus released and people are going to be getting sick from that and we're going to have a lockdown and everybody's going to put on, you know, masks over their mouth and nose and then we're going to bring out the violent protesters and they're going to be wearing masks also. And then, you know, the police are going to stand down and let it get worse and let it escalate. And in fact, the police are even going to be, you know, dressed up as a protester and they're going to be an agent provocateur and all that. Folks, even if you go with that narrative, that's still God cursing America. Because is that a good thing for that to be happening in America? Any way you slice it, folks, it's bad. And you know what? We deserve it. I'm not saying you and I deserve it. I'm saying as a nation, we deserve it. Okay? And so, therefore, you know, we need to get a mentality that is saying, okay, we're going to trust the Lord. We're going to focus on walking the spiritual walk. We're not going to worry. We're going to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let our requests be made known unto God. But at the same time, we should be cautious. You know, the Bible says the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. It doesn't say, hey, everybody, no need for horses, no need for weapons, safety is of the Lord. No, it says the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. The shotgun is loaded, but safety is of the Lord. Right? And so therefore, you know, I do think that we should be cautious about this virus that's going around and try not to catch it. Try to do the social distancing or whatever you can to not catch this thing. You don't want to, who wants to get sick? I hate getting sick. Even with normal sicknesses, I hate getting sick. Let alone nobody wants to get coronavirus and be coughing and hacking and maybe have to get on some breathing machine or something. You know, obviously we don't want to get that sickness and we don't want to deal with these violent thugs. You know, so let's be cautious. Let's go. And look, I encourage you this week, if our government is saying, hey, 8 o'clock curfew, some people are like, oh, you're infringing on my rights. Folks, look, why don't you just go to bed early this week? Why don't you just go home by 8 o'clock and let the police do their job? Because I want them to do their job this time, because it's actually something that they need to be doing. So what's wrong with us just going home and just being off the streets? And you know, now's not the time to just be getting some YouTube video of what's going on or something, okay? You know, I'm just going to be at home, you know, just cooperating with it so that they can actually do what they're being paid to do. And I hope that tonight's not a repeat of last night, okay? I hope that they actually can put a stop to this violence that's going on. Because it needs to stop. And you know, when millions of dollars of property are being destroyed. You know, I mean, people go to work and they build things, they install windows, they build businesses, they clean things, and then these idiot derelicts who don't even have a job come in and just start smashing it all up. You know, it's wicked as hell. And God, and you know, maybe you're not that offended by it, but you know what? God, in Revelation chapter 9, when he's pouring out his wrath on this earth, you know, when meteors are hitting the earth and the sun's being blacked out for part of the daytime and the water's turning poisonous and everything, you know what he says that he's pouring out his wrath? He mentions the things that are making him so mad. It mentions at the very end of Revelation chapter 9, verses 20 and 21, he mentions the fornication, he mentions the sorcery, he mentions the blasphemy, and he mentions theft. Theft. Okay. He says they didn't repent of these things, even though I'm pouring out all this wrath on them. They're still looting in Revelation chapter 9. Okay. So whether you're offended by it or not, whether you hate stealing as much as I do, God hates stealing. And it's disgusting. Okay. And don't even let that wicked thought even enter your mind of, well, I wonder if I could get something out of Target, you know, during a time like this. That is such a wicked thought. Do you have, if you have food and raiment, that's all you need. You don't need all the crap that Target is selling, that the media has told you that you think you need. You only need what God gives you. And if God thought you needed that stuff, he'd give you enough money to go buy that stuff. And so don't let that wicked thought enter your mind of being justified, of taking advantage of a situation like this or something like that. And you know what? I preached a sermon a few months back about stealing. And in that sermon that I preached on stealing, I explained that if you steal, you're very likely to get hurt. You know, even if you're trying to do a nonviolent crime, if you're stealing, somebody could just attack you. Somebody could shoot you. You could get, you know, sin takes you further than you want to go. And it keeps you longer than you want to stay, and it costs you more than you're willing to pay. And so don't play with it. It's not worth it. But right now in our country, bad things are happening. But those that are saved, those who love the Lord, can have peace in their hearts right now. But I have no sympathy for these derelicts. I hope that many of them tonight, the violent thugs, I hope that many of them are killed tonight. I hope that many of them are beaten and arrested, and I hope that they're brought to justice. Amen. These violent, God-hating thugs. And I'm not saying that they all are, but a lot of them are. And you know what? They ought to be punished, and this thing needs to be nipped in the bud immediately. We shouldn't be dealing with this for weeks and weeks. This needs to stop. It needs to stop, okay? We're not living in a failed state here. And so this needs to be brought under control. Okay. And there's nothing righteous about. Let me ask you this. Are they out protesting because of abortion? Is that what the protest is about? Is it about, hey, everybody, we want to put a stop to abortion? Is that what it's about?
No.
Is that what they're protesting? Are they protesting, hey, everybody, we need to stop the sodomites? Is that what it's about?
No.
What is it about? Well, it's about police brutality. Folks, that is, if you believe that, you're an idiot, okay? Because you know what? The cop that did that in Minnesota, he's already behind bars. He's being tried. These people are just looking for an excuse to steal, period. Because if it was about police brutality, they wouldn't be robbing Target and the Apple Store and the Scottsdale Fashion Center. Don't be stupid, folks. These are violent thugs. And you know what else it's about? Can I tell you what else it's about? It's not just about that. It's not just about, hey, we want to steal and loot. And some people just, they just think it's fun to break things, folks. There are people out there who just think it's fun to vandalize and break things. Folks, every day of the year, somebody's breaking something for no reason in America, just vandalizing. People just break into buildings, just start breaking things and just destroying things. For kicks, every day. This is the sinful nature of man. But it's not just about that. People who want to overthrow the government right now, it's because they want a total left-wing socialist commie government. That's what's going on. And these organizations that are organizing all this stuff, what's it called? Antifa or whatever? Bunch of communist devils. Bunch of satanic goons. Okay, and I'm sure they've got some useful idiots out there that don't know why they're out there, but the people who are organizing this stuff want to bring in an evil, Christ-hating government. It's nothing godly that they want to bring in. It's nothing liberty or freedom-loving that they want to bring in. It's nothing American that they want to bring in, folks. They want to bring in a godless, left-wing government like we've seen in the 20th century with the communists and the Soviet Union. That's the kind of garbage that's happening right now. And you do not even for 1 second support this garbage that's going on. Stand against it, speak against it, and do not sympathize with it at all. It's wicked. It's wrong. These left-wing organizations that are putting this thing together, okay, they're for the sodomites. They're for abortion. They hate the Lord Jesus Christ. These are facts, friend, okay? These people are not for working for a living and paying your own way. They're for handouts and taking everything away from people who've actually earned something in this country. It's everything. And look, I could just refer you to all my sermons on the subject, right? Listen to my sermon, Communism in Light of the Bible. Listen to my sermon, The Spiritual Evil of Socialism. Listen to my sermon, The Sin of Stealing. This is all stuff I've covered in the last 6 months, all right? You listen to those sermons and then listen to this morning's sermon, okay? And let me tell you something. It's pretty obvious what's going on right now. And, you know, all that I care about right now is just that God's people be safe. You know, and whatever happens beyond that, you know what? This country is messed up and deserves it. So, you know, all I care about is just that our church family and our other brothers and sisters in Christ across America be safe. And we should pray for them to be safe. And we should take steps to keep ourselves safe and pray for them to be safe. But you know what? It just blows my mind to see anybody for 1 second supporting what's going on. And I don't care if you're white or black. I don't care if you're black. You should still be agreeing with what I'm saying right now, okay? And, well, you know, because I'm black, I can kind of see where they're coming. Folks, this isn't about white and black. You think those people that are running this protest care about black people? They don't care about, if they cared about black people, you know what they would do? They would actually tell black people the truth and try to help black people succeed. They wouldn't tell black people, you're a victim and you can't get ahead, and you know, and turn them into hating white people. What is that going to help? And you know what? Let me explain to you a big part of the problem right now in our country is the fact that we've created this whole class of people of welfare-receiving women who are raising kids with no dad in the home, and they're being propped up by welfare. So we've got this ghetto welfare society churning out derelicts who aren't taught to work for a living. That's what's going on, friend. That's the problem. Okay, this didn't start yesterday. This problem started about 50 years ago, or even 60 years ago, is where this problem started. Okay, so you've got all of these worthless thugs who just have been taught you're a victim and it's all the white man's fault and all this stuff. Hey, they need to get a job, pull up their pants, get a job, and make something out of themselves. And I don't feel bad for them at all. If they're a loser, they're choosing to be a loser. Every door is open to everyone in this country, whether they're white or black. Amen. There is not. I defy you to tell me one door that is not open to black people right now in America. They can have any job they want. They can go to any school. There's not a school in America that doesn't allow black people. There is not a job in America that refuses to hire blacks. It doesn't exist. It's a liberal lie. Okay? They need to just make something out of themselves, just like white people need to make something out of themselves. We're all in the same boat, folks. And you know what? I have nothing against black people because you know what? They're exactly like I am. To me, the color of your skin is no different than the color of your eyes or the color of your hair. That's how much it means. You know, people who are racist are stupid because they actually even think that there are different races when in reality, we're all related. Look, I'm part black. Everybody is. We're all mixed. I got my DNA check. It said I had Alabama black. That's black. I'm not kidding. I got the DNA test to prove it. Who cares? Folks, let me explain something to you. Barack Obama's mom is white as snow. Yeah. Who's ever seen a picture of Barack Obama's mom? She is way whiter than I am. But yet he married a black woman or man or whatever. And his two daughters look black. And if they marry black dudes, they're going to have black kids and nobody's ever going to know that their grandma or great grandma is as white as snow. Are they even going to know that? Are they even going to realize that? Okay, and then think about, you know, Thomas Jefferson had a kid with a black lady. And you know, his kid that he had with that black lady looks pretty white. But she's half black. If she marries a white dude, they're going to have white kids and nobody's even going to realize. You know how many generations it takes to basically get rid of the white or get rid of the black? It only takes a couple generations. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? So it's not like, oh, if you're black, all your ancestors all the way to Noah's Ark are just black people. Like, do you really think that Noah just had these three boys and one of them was Chinese and one of them was white and one of them was black? That's how people picture Noah's Ark. It's like eight people get off the ark. You know, Noah's white, of course, you know. And then, you know, Shem is Chinese or something, you know. And then Japheth is white and Ham's black or something. There are people who think that. Folks, did you know for the first 100 years after Noah's Ark, they were all intermarried? Because they all lived in one city at Babel. They didn't get divided until the Tower of Babel, so they're all intermarried. So you can't say, oh, these people come from Ham. We all come from Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Then look, I don't want to be descended from Ham any more than you do, but every white person is descended from Ham. Don't try to say that we're not, because all of us are descended from all three. Because when they got off the ark, I got news for you, they didn't marry their sister, they married their cousin. If you had to choose, you'd marry your cousin, not your sister, amen? So they married their cousins when they got off the ark. That's obvious. Okay. And people have intermarried throughout history. Every white person's got... And people don't believe me. I proved this mathematically in Marching to Zion. I did the math. I proved it. It's obvious. We're all related. We're all the same. And literally, if we went back several generations on any of us on some line... You're going to find a white person, a black person, an Asian, an Indian. It's all going to be there. I guarantee it. Okay? It's all there. So if you're going to sit there and be a white supremacist, you're an idiot too. Because you actually think that you're purely white or something. And even if you were purely white, so what? How many white idiots have we come across in our life? How many white derelicts are there? How many white trailer trash idiots are there in this world? You think that there are a bunch of white baby mamas on welfare? Because there are. So who cares? This isn't about race, folks. It's about being degenerate scum or being a godly Christian. And you know what? I would rather hang around with only black people for the rest of my life as long as they love the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd rather move to a country where I'm the only white person. If I'm surrounded by people who love Christ, I could be perfectly happy there for the rest of my life. You know, we go on missions trips and we surround ourselves with people of color and we're just happy to be there and minister and preach Christ. We don't care. Than to be surrounded by white atheist liberals. We have less in common with them. So don't identify based on your race. It's stupid. Don't identify based on your race. Identify based on your religion. Identify as Christian, right? That's what we're Christian American, right? That's more important than whether you're African American or Asian American. Just be a Christian American, right? Let that be your identity, okay? And don't get offended when the hip-hop culture is being condemned, because it needs to be condemned. And when the welfare, ghetto, derelict culture and the pant-sagging culture gets condemned, if you're a black person, you're offended by that, shame on you. Get right with God. That'd be like if I got offended if you condemned some degenerate country western star or something, because I'm white or something. Nuts to it. So don't get offended. You know, and look, in case you haven't noticed, I'm not afraid to speak out about these issues. I'm not like walking on eggshells like, oh man, I hope I don't offend any black people. Because you know what? Frankly, we should be past that in this country. Yeah. It's 2020. That's not a thing anymore.
That's right.
You know, let the media might tell you it's a thing. That is not a thing anymore. Okay, but people are just falling all over themselves today to try to lie about what's going on and say like, well, all the videos I saw, it was white people looting. Really? Because maybe you might need to schedule an eye exam. Yeah, so maybe you should get an eye exam. Why lie about it? Why not just admit it? Why not just admit it that in Scottsdale, what was it? Yeah, that the majority of people that were looting and pillaging in Scottsdale are black. Why lie about that? That's the reality. And it's nothing against black people. It's just, it does say something about the hip-hop culture. It does say something about the welfare mentality and the entitlement mentality that a certain segment of the black population has, where they think that they're just entitled and that they have the right to just do all this. It shows that a lot of black people are racists because they'll just lash out at any white business. And people, I saw today people spray painting their businesses black owned. Don't burn it down. It's black owned. Look, I don't blame them. If I was a black person and I owned a business, I'd be spray painting black owned too, because I don't want my stuff to get burned out. So I'm not saying anything against them. But you know what? The fact that they have to spray paint black owned, you know what that shows? That the people who are burning things down are a bunch of racists that basically hate white people. And they'll, oh, you're black? Well, then I won't harm you, but I'll harm a random white person. I'll pull some random white person out of his truck and beat the crap out of him. Folks, that's horrible. And look, don't tell me, well, you don't know what it's like to be a black person in this country. Well, you don't know what it's like to be me. You don't know what it's like to be an independent fundamental Baptist preacher right now. Okay? You know, you don't know what it's like to be an independent fundamental Baptist preacher, because you know what? I've probably suffered more discrimination than you have. You know, I went to Chipotle last night. I was sitting in Chipotle, and people are looking at me, giving me dirty looks and scoffing at me, and walked up and said, are you Steven Anderson? Yeah. I told you it was him. Isn't that sort of like being a black person in the South like 70 years ago? Like people giving me dirty looks and, you know, hey, my food's for here, right? No, it's to go. Hey, you don't think I've been discriminated against? Hey, what about restaurants that wouldn't let me eat there?
Banned.
I'm banned from 34 countries, but I don't know what it's like to be a black person. Folks, I've been more... Pastor Dave Berzins has lost 3 jobs because of his preaching. 3 jobs. How many have you lost for being black? He lost 3 jobs for his preaching. What about that? What about the fact that I lost 90% of my business for my preaching in 2009? I lost all my customers. I had all these lucrative contracts. They're all canceled because of my preaching. Okay? But I don't know what it's like to be a black person in America. I just can't get, all these doors are closed. Shut up. Shut up and quit whining. Period. Okay? Everybody has a struggle in their life. I got my struggles. You got your struggles. Black people, white people, we all have struggle in life. There are people who whine about it, and there are people who, you know what, they get over it and they do something for God and they live a productive life. Amen. And I'm not afraid to speak. And you know what? Some people are like, well, you're going to offend black people. Well, you know what? I only want black people who to come to our church who are over this race thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I don't want racism to exist in our church. So I don't want black people in our church that are going to be racist and wanting everybody to basically whine and fall all over ourselves to show how, you know, we're going to take care of them special or something. Just like I don't want white supremacists at our church, you know, treating people of color poorly. You know, that doesn't belong in the house of God on either side. So if you can't handle big boy church, and if you can't handle a post-racial church that basically believes that we're all of one blood and there's no Jew or Gentile and we're all on the even playing field, if you can't just come here and just be part of the team and be a brother, be a sister in Christ, then you know what? Maybe you just don't belong here then if you can't handle that. You know what I mean? But if you notice, look around. Guess what we have in our church? We've got black people. We've got Asians. We've got Hispanics. We've got Indians. This is one of the most diverse fundamental Baptist churches in the state of Arizona or even anywhere in America. You know what I mean? Because of the fact that we don't divide over something so stupid as that. So don't get caught up in this garbage. Get your head in the Word of God and have that opinion. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for keeping us safe and protecting us, Lord. And we're living in strange times. And I pray that no one would be perturbed or made nervous by the sermon, Lord. I just pray that everybody would just be wise, take precautions, but really just not to worry about it. Because, God, we know you're going to take care of us. We trust in you to always do what's best for us, Lord. And, God, I would pray for you to bless America, but, you know, it would be very insincere if I prayed that because, Lord, I know that you have to punish and judge all the sins of America, Lord. So I just pray that you would just protect your people, keep us safe, and don't destroy the righteous with the wicked, Lord. And, Lord, I just pray that violent criminals would be brought to justice, Lord, and that they would be destroyed, Lord, before they can harm any more innocents. And we pray that you would continue to bless our church, Lord. Give us all safety. And bless us this week as we go our separate ways, go to our jobs, and love you and serve you with our lives. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.